On Tech News Today, new smartwatch technology is so smart, it can identify anything you touch. Plus, a new Facebook feature reaches into your camera roll and identifies your friends. And Apple's inevitable iPad Pro advertising blitz has already begun. It's all coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, November 10th, 2015. This episode is brought to you by Braintree. Looking to set up payments for your business? Braintree gives your app or website a payment solution that accepts just about every payment method with one simple integration. Plus, Braintree will give you the first $50,000 in transactions fee-free. To learn more, visit braintreepayments.com/TNT. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. Tech News Today is the show where we talk about the tech news with the journalists who report it. My name is Mike Elgin. Joe Panettiere is off today, and it's too bad, too, because this is a special day. Today is the day that will go down in history as the very day when Sony officially, finally, killed the Betamax. That's right. Sony announced that in March they'll stop producing Betamax video cassette tape. So if you're a Betamax user, and you're not, the end is near. The last Betamax recorder was actually produced in 2002, so it kind of has already been dead for a long time. And, of course, VHS really killed it in the 70s or 80s or whatever it is that that whole thing happened. And, of course, this technology was developed in the 70s. It was the famous story that we all use now for a superior product that failed anyway, even though it really wasn't a superior product. There was a lot of reasons for its demise. But anyway, interesting story. This is also an interesting day because Apple has shipped the Android version of Apple Music. So for all of you rabid fans of Apple Music who also use Android, go rushing to the Play Store and download Apple Music immediately. Both of you. All right, let's jump into our top story. A U.S. District Court judge has ordered the NSA to stop collecting domestic phone records on a California lawyer and his law firm immediately, saying that the program is a violation of the Constitution. Jenna McLaughlin writes about surveillance and national security for The Intercept and joins us now. Welcome to the show, Jenna.
Thanks so much for having me.
So glad to have you on again. Now, isn't the NSA already shutting the program down? Why is this judge in such a big rush?
Yes, that's true. The deadline for the NSA to shut the program down is actually November 29th, so pretty soon. However, there have been a few court cases of plaintiffs alleging that the program should end even sooner, because even one day, essentially, of a constitutional violation is one day too many. And that's essentially what Judge Leon argued in this case, that just because Congress authorized this transition period for the NSA to wind down its bulk telephony metadata program, that means that it's continuing to allow an unconstitutional program.
But this is just for one law firm. Why is it significant that he's ordering the cessation of this collection for one law firm?
Right. So the order is specifically targeted at the law firm because they were customers of the Verizon Business Network Services, which is the only network that the government has publicly acknowledged participated in the vast collection of American telephone data. However, the government has argued in this case, actually, previously, that if it was forced to stop spying on even just one person, actually doing that would be so technically challenging that they would have to just shut down the entire thing.
Now, this judge said that this represents the loss of constitutional freedoms. It's unconstitutional is what he said. But that's not the reason that Congress shut it down in the first place, is it? They had a different reason?
Well, Congress shut it down essentially just because of its incredible broadness. It became the decision of Congress in the USA Freedom Act to replace the program with something more targeted. And within the law, they were given 188 days to actually format that new program to wind it down and make it more targeted.
And what do you think is going to happen now? Will the NSA just have, do they have a big lever? They just throw the lever and then it all stops? So, like, what is it complicated? Is it time consuming? What do you think is going to happen now that this ruling is in effect?
Well, now that this ruling has taken place, the government last night already filed an emergency motion to actually stay the decision. So it's unclear whether or not that will go through, whether or not the DC Court of Appeals will halt the decision. And if any sort of legal challenge comes up, it's likely that the decision won't have a huge impact just because there are only a few more weeks until the program will end anyway. And I think I saw it reported that the NSA has said that they've developed the technical means to transition in 3 weeks, but not until then. I've actually heard someone from the NSA say that they have kind of a big clock in their office counting down until the last hour, until the program has to shift.
Wow. Jenna, do you watch The Good Wife, the TV show The Good Wife?
I don't actually, but I've been told it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a great show, but the most recent episode, they depict the NSA, and they depict the NSA as just a bunch of frat boys running around being total jackasses and listening in on conversations because they get a kick out of it. And it looks, you know, and I was wondering if we have any information, really, to understand what the whole NSA surveillance situation looks like, what it sounds like. Is it really a sea of cubicles where people are actually listening in real time to conversations? Is it computerized? How much do we know about the actual mechanics of NSA data collection?
Well, it certainly seems like it's probably not a big frat party. That's probably a little too far. What we do know about it comes from the leaks disclosed by Edward Snowden in 2013. And the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board wrote an incredibly extensive report on Section 215. So we sort of know the very targeted mechanisms in which they sweep up all this information and go through it. But it's not like everyone's sitting there listening to people talk in real time, likely, you know, common people off the street. But, you know, the information about phone calls, about who's calling who, when, and for how long is available in databases everywhere just because of the nature of the way that the program functioned.
Jenna McLaughlin is at TheIntercept.com. TheIntercept.com. Got to check out this site. And you can find her on Twitter at JennaMC_Loth, or spelled laugh. Jenna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Well, we're going to come back in just a sec with some more news. But first, I want to talk about Braintree, one of our sponsors today. Really, what we're talking about is not so much just payments. It's not so much great customer service. It's success for your company. If you want to succeed, you can't have a lot of cart abandonment where people come to buy your product or service and then wander away. You're not going to succeed. You can't have a difficult or confusing checkout or payment process because people associate those bad feelings with your company, your brand, your product. You want to succeed. And if you want to succeed, you have to use Braintree. You know who else uses Braintree? Successful companies. I'm talking about Uber, of course, the mother of all unicorns, Airbnb, GitHub. You've heard these companies before, but did you know that Pinterest uses it? Basecamp, Slack, Casper, the mattress people, StubHub, you name it, PagerDuty. So many successful companies use Braintree because they want to be successful. Ladies and gentlemen, even DogVacay uses Braintree. If you need any other endorsement beyond DogVacay, I don't know what to tell you. It's just so great. You basically, a few lines of code, integrate it, and suddenly you can take any sort of payment type, Apple Pay, Android Pay, even Bitcoin, all the credit cards, PayPal. It just goes on and on and on what you can accept. It just happens automatically, and you can accept that in 130 currencies. I didn't know there was 130 currencies, but and you don't have to know all the currencies because Braintree accepts them. They know all about the currencies. And again, you want to avoid mobile card abandonment. The problem is with most payment systems, the companies who implemented those inferior payment systems don't even know when they've made a potential customer a non-customer, when they've made a potential person unhappy and wander away to the competitor to buy something. They don't even know. Braintree, you don't have to know because it's not going to happen. You'll have a happy customer. You'll process the payment, and you will be a successful company because of it. Braintree gives you a full stack payment solution, support for all payment types that your customers might want, a single integration across all platforms with superior fraud detection, customer service, and super fast payouts. You got to check out Braintree at braintreepayments.com/TNT. Facebook is testing a new feature in its Messenger app called Photo Magic. Josh Constein is a senior writer for TechCrunch and joins us to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Oh, I thank you for having me.
I thank you for coming on and at the very last minute. Now, what is this Photo Magic business and how does it work?
So basically, Facebook wants you to start more conversations with a photo. It's one of the things that's made Snapchat so popular. And so yesterday, it started testing a feature in Australia called Photo Magic for Messenger. And so what it does is that when you take a photograph, Facebook will automatically scan your camera roll looking for photos of your friends. So they're basically doing facial recognition on your photos to detect if any of your friends are in your photos. And each time you take a photo, it'll scan that photo, and then it'll send you a notification being like, hey, these four friends are in this photo. Do you want to send a Facebook Messenger message to them with that photo?
And I apologize, I accused you of being a senior editor, but in fact, you are editor at large, which is, indeed, as we discussed the last time you were on, the most awesome editorial title there is. Now, you talked to a couple of guys from Facebook. What do they tell you about the purpose of this and how they expect people to use it?
Well, right now, 9.5 billion photographs are being sent on Messenger every month, which is pretty staggering. And if you want an understanding of why even the small changes on Facebook matter, so Facebook basically breaks down the photos that are sent on Messenger into three categories. There's selfies, there's photos sort of showing your friends what you're doing right now, and then there's photos of your friends or photos that you take together. And so even if this feature only saved 5 seconds on one-third of the photos that are sent each month on Messenger, it would save people 500 years of time every month.
Wow.
So that's why they're doing this. It's going to make it a lot quicker to send photos, which means you'll get more conversations started with photos in Messenger, which locks you further into Facebook's platform, so you end up using its newsfeed more where you see ads.
With a billion users per day just for Facebook.com, of course, this is Messenger, but just you add up all the users, I'm sure everything at Facebook is a similar conversation. Everything is such a massive scale that nothing is small. And
so there's 700 million users now, which is just jaw-dropping.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, is this face recognition happening on the phone, or are the camera roll pictures being uploaded to the cloud and being recognized? Where is this recognition taking place?
I'm not exactly sure, actually, but basically what happens is that the phone gives the app permission to occasionally scan your camera roll. And through there, I think what happens is that Facebook can detect when there's a new photo. It can then quickly upload that to Facebook, where it can do the scanning and then send back whether it needs a notification or not. And it's the same technology that actually powers Facebook's standalone app called Moments, which it released a few months ago, which basically looks at your entire camera roll, bundles up all the photos of somebody, and asks you to send them all to them. So, you know, every photo you've ever taken of someone that's trapped on your phone, you can send to them with Moments. And it's also the same facial recognition feature that powers the tag suggestions when you just normally upload a photo to Facebook. And because of that, it means if you are kind of squeamish about Facebook scanning your face and other people's photos, you can turn it off. If you go into your privacy settings, you go to timeline and tagging, you can go into the bottom and select to not have your face recognized in other people's photos. But really, you're just doing a disservice to your friends and kind of to yourself, because those photos exist anyways. They're trapped on your friend's phones. So you're either making your friend do the work of manually sending those photos to you, or they're just never going to do it because we are lazy and busy people. So honestly, I mean, yeah, Facebook has your face either way. Giving it this permission to do the scanning is really just helping you out. So I think people should be chill about it.
You think they should, but do you think they will? Do you think that once they roll this out beyond Australia, that the general public will use it and be comfortable with it?
I mean, it's one of those things where every few years there's something that pops up that really irks us a little bit. You know, a decade ago, it might have been that, oh my God, GPS on my phone? That means like somebody could know where I am. And now we don't think twice about how useful GPS is, and it doesn't really bother us. Similarly, when Facebook first came out with facial recognition for tagging suggestions, people were up in arms a little bit, and there was, you know, a privacy lawsuit in Europe. But eventually, people really calmed down saying, hey, this is quite useful. And Facebook owns these photos or at least controls or stores them already. So it's not really like you're getting rid of those photos. So it's really just making the service easier. And yeah, I think we need to keep a close eye on companies that are that have this much personal information about us and make sure they're not doing anything really dastardly with them. But just the idea of some company scanning our faces and photos doesn't incur a security risk on us. And I think that's what we need to sort of suss out, is understand there's a difference between a privacy change and a security risk.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I read an article some months ago that said that Facebook's face recognition technology is superior to the FBI's, their ability to recognize faces better than the FBI's. And of course, it's coming. And of course, the next stage, I think, for face recognition is understanding the state of mind of the user. Already there's technology out there, not from Facebook, but elsewhere, that can tell better than a human can whether or not somebody is lying. And,
right. And maybe this, you know, this feature might be better than the FBI's, but what's really important is that it's better than Google and Snapchat, which are Facebook's big competitors in photos. Google just released its big Google Photos app, which has infinite storage, and it can actually detect if there's the same person in a bunch of different photos with facial recognition, but it actually doesn't know who they are because Google just doesn't really have that kind of personal information or our social graph. So it doesn't know who the people are. It can just tell that they're all the same person. Whereas Snapchat, they're still really kind of getting their engineering department together. They finally started to speed up so that videos and photos load faster, but they're not really on the level, nor do they have the personal information to be able to power this kind of facial recognition. So Facebook's really leaning on its depth in engineering and personal data to build something that Snapchat and Google can't clone.
You'd think they knew that they were going to dominate this space when they named the company Facebook. And in Google's defense, Google can tell the difference between a golden retriever and a wiener dog. So try that, Facebook. Josh Constein can be found at TechCrunch.com and on Twitter at Josh Constein. Josh, editor at large at TechCrunch, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's been magical.
Yes, it has. Well, the Amazon Echo virtual assistant appliance is busting out of Amazon.com. Amazon announced plans this morning to sell the Echo at the Home Depot, Staples, Sears, Brookstone, Radio Shack. Yeah, Radio Shack is still out there somewhere. Fred Meyer, PC Richard & Son, and many other stores, more than 3,000 stores in the United States, all in time for the holidays. I am so confused about why Apple and Google are letting Amazon run away with a future of virtual assistant. I use this product, and because I have this product, I don't use Siri. I don't use Google Now. I use the Amazon Echo because it's an appliance. Apple and Google, this is the future of virtual assistants. Get on the stick and ship an appliance, for crying out loud. Now they're in all these stores. It's going to be a big holiday season for Amazon Echo. Well, in product update news, Google Maps finally got full functionality for its offline mode. In the past, you could download a map and look at the map offline. But now, thanks to an update this morning, you can get turn-by-turn directions, search for specific destinations, and get information about businesses, all without any connection to the internet. To use the feature, make sure you're on a Wi-Fi network, then search for a city, county, or country, and choose download. And this is just in time for my big vacation to South America, and I'm definitely going to be using this because we're going to be out in the sticks some of the trip. Well, in the research and development department, Disney Research and Carnegie Mellon University have developed a concept watch that's designed to identify anything you touch. The watch uses electromagnetic noise profiles to detect objects. Let's check out this amazing video.
Magnetic noise during regular operation. Typically, these electromagnetic signals, or EM, are low power and outside the regulated frequency spectrum. They are also distinctive and can be used to classify objects.
What we're looking at when a user makes physical contact with such an object, the object is being identified on a laptop screen as part of the test.
We can detect and classify EM signals in real time, enabling quick and robust detection of when an object is touched and what that object is. We call our approach M-Sense and have built it into a prototype smartwatch. We explored five example contexts and environments. For example,
it's basically a Galaxy Gear smartwatch with extra stuff attached.
Office.
Now the person is touching everything. That's
transportation.
Incredible. So now they're touching a motorcycle and says, "Recognize as motorcycle."
Features.
So anyway, this is amazing technology, and I would love to see something like that built into actual smartwatches. Imagine for the visually impaired Imagine how great it would be to be just be able to identify things that you touch. Very, very cool. And, you know, I've noticed lately that Disney is doing a lot of really interesting research these days. I mean, we had a story about these lights that are actually communicating data in children's toys. We had all these stories. But Disney is becoming like the Xerox PARC of this kind of technology, totally left field technology like this that's very actually unusual. I haven't heard of anybody else working on stuff like this, and yet here they are working on it. It just seems like a really, really cool thing that they're doing here. Well, we have an awesome News You Can Lose coming right up, but let's talk about ZipRecruiter, one of our sponsors today. ZipRecruiter is going to help you hire the right person. I could go on and on about the benefits, and I have done, including HR-type benefits. Well, they'll automate a lot of the paperwork and some of the things you have to do when you hire a person. But really, the bottom line about ZipRecruiter, the reason you have to use ZipRecruiter if you're hiring people, is they'll help you hire the right person, the best person for the job that you have out there. And how you do that is you make sure that you cast a net wide enough to get people no matter where they are. A single click, and you can send your job to 100-plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just post once, and within 24 hours, the candidates start rolling into an easy-to-use interface. You can sort and filter out the people that are not qualified. You go in there and very carefully decide, okay, if this person doesn't have this qualification, doesn't have that qualification, put them aside and just show me the people who are truly qualified for this job. That's going to save you a ton of time because it's really difficult. You know, resumes are designed as sales pitches, and they're trying to make themselves, the people who write these resumes, to look as good as they can possibly look. And that's fair enough. But you don't have time to go and read dozens or hundreds of resumes to only after investing a half an hour in a resume going, oh, wait a minute, they don't have this one qualification. No, you can just set it so that you never have to encounter the people who are not truly qualified. Now, we have a user testimonial from a happy ZipRecruiter client named Scott who said, the recruiting process used to be so painful. Before, I'd post to several places, get a million resumes, but only a few responses from qualified candidates. It was torture. But with ZipRecruiter, we post once and get qualified candidates in one easy-to-review place. We've hired some of our best employees using ZipRecruiter. No kidding. It's the way to hire. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. And check it out. You can try it for free. I highly, highly recommend it. Well, in News You Can Lose, don't look now, folks, but the first iPad Pro TV commercial is out there, and it is intergalactic. Let's check out the first iPad Pro commercial. No, this isn't the trailer for the new Star Trek. Outside the window, we're looking at stunning photos of space. Or a acid trip. I'm not sure. Okay, space. And this is the... What is the name of that app? That's a cool app where you hold it up to the night sky and you can see what's really out there star-wise and planet-wise. iPad Pro, and they're pushing that pencil, the Apple Pencil. So very, very cool. Well, our TNT fan of the day is Rob Periselli in Mendlesham, UK, who posted this picture on Facebook. He's watching the show live on his brand new Apple TV. And we highly recommend that those of you with the new Apple TV that runs the apps and stuff, download one of the three Twit apps. You can watch the show live. You can watch the show offset, recorded, or whatever. And you can follow the chat room. It's an awesome way to watch the show and all the Twit shows. So check it out on Apple TV. Download the apps. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook. And we're starting to get Facebook posts now, by the way. And use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT so we can find it. And also, I want to know what's on your mind. If you'd like to suggest stories for us to cover, if you'd like to comment, if you disagree with something we said on the show, or you'd like to add some additional information to something we reported on this show, just send email to tnt@twit.tv. Or you can call us at 260-TNT-SHOW. That's 260-868-7469. If you don't want us to read your email or or play your call on the air. Just indicate that in your message, and we won't. But if you do, just go ahead and send us that communication. You can subscribe to Tech News Today on the new Apple TV by downloading one of the TWiT apps, and you can choose another way to subscribe at twit.tv/TNT. You can watch us live every weekday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1700 UTC at twit.tv/live. You can follow us on Twitter at Tech News Today TV, and you can follow me personally at Mike Elgin on Twitter. Don't miss our other new show, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific every single weeknight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Tech News Today. The show is produced by Jason Cleanthes and edited by Anthony Nielsen. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow.